I think it's time for She-Ra. For the honor of Grayskull!
It's Showtime Synergy. The latest review podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network is here. So join TFG1 Mike, Nicole Hailstorm, and myself, Lady Rec, as we will be reviewing all 65 episodes of Joe and the Holograms in a 25-episode long podcast. You can find Showtime Synergy on iTunes and geekcastradio.com. We are the truly outrageous podcast that you want to be listening to.
Isn't it?
What's too bad?
She has your features, your feelings, and so much more. But she doesn't have the most important thing of all.
What's that?
Me.
Hello, this is Optimus Solo, and welcome to the 60th chapter in our Powers of Grayskull series. With me for this journey into the Masters of the Universe franchise, as he has been for the other 59 chapters, is TFG1 Mike. Hello.
Hello. So we're at 60. You know what that means, right?
No. But I'm sure you'll tell me some type of reference.
Only 65 episodes left.
Oh, man. We're almost to the halfway point. All right. Well, in this episode of Mists of Etheria, we'll be giving you our thoughts on episode 40, Treasures of the First Ones, episode 41, Glimmer Story, and episode 42, Enemy with My Face. So we hope you're ready, because it's time to go back to Etheria.
Time to enter Etheria's blue period.
What does that mean?
Oh my god. You are so not an art person, are you? No. Picasso's blue period? Come on now.
No, I hate art. What?
So apparently, folks, this first episode, Kevin's going to give a zero. So what do we have for episode 40?
Episode 40, Treasures of the First One. It was an air date of Thursday, October 31st, 1985, written by Larry DiTillo. Mystic Isle will rise out of the sea for just one day, and Hordak plans to steal the ancient treasure of the First Ones that was hidden there. Light Hope calls on She-Ra for help, and she in turn rounds up Seahawk and his crew to help her out. So we have Hordak, Shadow Weaver, Imp, some Horde troopers, and Octavia as our Horde members. And for members of the Rebellion, we have She-Ra and Swiftwind and Light Hope. And then, of course, we have the recurring characters of Seahawk and Swin. What did you think about the Treasures of the First Ones?
Well, first of all, this aired on Halloween in 85.
I guess. Come on. That's what my sources tell me.
Break. They could have had a better cartoon here on Halloween. I mean, come on. Yeah. This is just an art heist. That's all it is.
It's Monuments Men.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I mean, what did you think, though, about the idea?
It's a Thomas Crown affair.
What did you think of the idea that we're going to have some ancient treasure of Etheria, and that it's going to take us to an environment that's going to give us an option to have the Seahawk back as well as a new character from the Horde?
I mean, I like seeing Seahawk again. I like seeing the crew again. I like seeing his ship and all that. I like finally seeing a new character in Octavia, or another new character. Essentially, this is Atlantis. I mean, that's really what it is. It's Atlantis with treasure. It's really what the Mystic Isle is. Although I don't think Atlantis ever has ever arisen, unless you know,
not in reality.
Yeah, I was gonna say unless you head on over to Transformers and talk about that episode, Atlantis Arise. But yeah, no, I mean it's essentially like Hordak is under the assumption that there is money and gold and just stuff to make him rich, which it contradicts his whole thing. Hordak already owns the damn planet. Like, I don't understand why he would want money and gold and riches. He's not Miles Mayhem for crap's sake. He's better than
I think it's more so, it's not necessarily the gold and the riches as much as he thinks there's going to be some type of something there that can give him power or something,
yeah.
Whether it be magical or whether it be, you know, like artillery or something. You know, he's expecting something that's going to be able to fuel his journey to domination, I guess.
All I can think of, and I know this is really, really bad, there was a Transformers episode where Starscream ends up humping a giant metal bug, and one of my lines when I saw that was, Michael Bay rapes our childhood like Starscream rapes giant metal bugs, and that's all I can think of when Hordak wants this extra power. And then he comes to find out that it's just art and statues and all that stuff, and he's like, oh, that's it?
Yeah, so that is the biggest crux, I guess, of this episode is the real, and kind of goes to the PSA a little bit, is, you know, as far as the treasure and how you define what's important and what's valuable.
We'll,
so
we'll get to the PSA.
All right, well, let's take a quick break then so we can make our way for the first time today to Whispering Woods and the Fright Zone to see what we liked and disliked about the treasure that the first ones left us.
Captain, we should be arriving in Octopus Cove in a few minutes.
Good.
We can't just fly right in. Horde sea bases all have heavy defenses.
No problem. They won't even see us. Swen, activate the cloud cover.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Come on, Swen. What are you waiting for?
This stubborn gadget is stove and strunk, Captain. She won't start.
Well, fix it. Quick.
Start, ye foul machine. Start, I say. Well, dip me in batter and fry me for a fritter. It worked.
Very neat trick. But how do we see through this cloud?
This aeroscope sticks out through the cloud. Take a look. There's Octopus Cove. And there's your dreadnought. She's headed out to sea.
Perfect. We can follow it all the way to Mystic Isle.
That we can.
Commander Octavia, something strange here. Sky scan indicates something following us, but visual shows only a cloud.
That's odd. Perhaps the scanner is defective.
I think not. I got a report last month that a cloud-covered device was stolen from one of our cruisers.
What shall we do, Mighty One?
Fire the plasma cannon at that cloud. We'll teach whoever it is the folly of trying to trick the Horde.
It will be done.
So far, so good.
Captain, there's something happening aboard that Horde tub. It's a plasma cannon, and it's pointed straight at us.
What?
All right, we find ourselves in the Whispering Woods for the good things about this treasure that they left us. So first off, I gotta say that I do love the Imp Hordak interactions.
Yeah.
They interact very well together. They play off of each other well. Imp could be, he could come off as a very annoying, you know, character like we've seen in so many of these cartoons. But yeah,
that's Luki's job.
But I actually do like him, and I think he plays off of Hordak fairly well. I like seeing Seahawk again. Seeing his return now, I think this is like the third time we've seen him in an episode, at least.
Third or fourth, yeah.
And I do like that interaction. It does also do a good job of following through with some character pieces about him. You know, he instantly is asking where Adora is, so they haven't ignored some of his previous appearances. So I do like that. Finally get to see a new Horde member in Octavia. Kind of forgot about her. So it was interesting seeing her. A little bit weird on the talking and her speech patterns with the kind of that sucking sound or whatever she's making, but interesting, and it makes sense that this is, honestly, she should have appeared previously, because remember last week or the week before when we talked about that episode that was basically made for Merman,
mm-hmm.
She could have definitely been in that episode, since she is octopus like and she seems to be in control of some sea troops for Hordak. And it also gave us an interesting look at some alternate Horde troopers. Like the Horde troopers that are piloting the Dreadnought and the different sea vehicles that Octavia is in control of don't look like the normal Horde troopers. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was kind of cool to see. It's almost like Stormtroopers in Star Wars, where you get to see multiple different variations on it. And my last note, since I just said Star Wars, Octavia does her best General Grievous impression when she busts out the four swords, like the four lightsabers, and goes after She-Ra.
Lou Scheimer ought to sue George Lucas.
So before General Grievous, we had Octavia. So
that's right.
Just saying that. What about you? Anything you like about this episode?
I think what's really cool is how Hordak basically explains the entire plot in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool. My next note goes to She-Ra and Swiftwind. Up, Swiftwind, away. Who is she, Superman talking to Crypto? I mean, come on.
Good moments. Good moments.
I just found that... No, I know. I found it funny. I'm like, ooh, like an irony kind of thing. I do like the new character of Octavia, but you're right. The voice, it's
not like, terrible, but it's not good.
She's basically a female leech as far as the voice goes. Yeah,
that's a good call.
So there's that. A Horde device was stolen about a month ago. Not necessarily the Rebellion, but a member of I guess you could say, pseudo member of the Rebellion in Seahawk. Apparently they stole the cloud. Because until Hordak said that it was stolen...
It had a Horde symbol on it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We saw it before Hordak said that. So... I'm like, wait, why does Seahawk have a Horde emblem machine on his? What's going on here? And then Hordak said, "Oh, it got stolen about a month." I'm like, "Oh boy."
Yeah.
Seahawk and She-Ra's exchange is just hilarious. Hitting land is worse than hitting the sea. Not if I'm there to catch you. Catch us? like he just can't believe that She-Ra would be able to catch the ship.
Right.
It's hilarious. But that's all I got.
Okay. Well, let's make our way to Fright Zone then and see if there's an equal number of things that we didn't like or if this is a generally positive episode. First off, I have, again, with the Hordak heads on all the vehicles, the Hordak head on the Dreadnought is just silly looking.
Oh, I thought it was cool looking. I thought it was the best one yet, because most of them you only see, like if you look at the destructo tanks or any of the transports, the ground vehicle transports,
right.
It's only like his the upper part of his jaw up to about just under his eyebrows, really. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing on the Dreadnought, actually being able to see the whole Hordak face, I thought that was cool.
It's probably better than a lot of them, but I think I've just been soured to the point that I see one on every single thing. So it's kind of like that. Sure. But didn't she just get crushed by that ship?
Uh-huh.
She's dead. Like, I don't care how strong you are. She's
dead. Show's over. Podcast over. It's gone.
She was starting to catch it, and then it clearly crushes her. And then she's just lifts it up afterwards. That's like even the strongest man in the world, if he's lifting whatever 600 pounds on a bench press or whatever, and he lifts part of it and then it comes down on top of him, he's not lifting that again. Like, come on now. Maneuver 36.
Don't even get me. Okay, so the maneuver itself was fine. Basically, Swiftwind flies through the blasts, which I'm surprised do not hit his wings every single time. He flies through the blast and crashes into the Horde Troopers. I like the maneuver. The fact that she has to say Maneuver 36 is the stupidest thing in the entire series. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan whenever that comes out of her mouth. So this whole aisle is only going to be up for one day. All right? They didn't really say, like, one day in whatever, 1,000 years, or they didn't give, like, a mention of if it's, like, a recurring thing.
I could have sworn they said it comes up every...
Okay.
I'll have to go back. I could be wrong, but I could have sworn either Madame Raz or Shadow Weaver said something about the fact that it only appears once every X number of years for one day.
My point is, though, that if that's going to happen, it's a legend of Etheria, so people know about it. I mean, apparently only Hordak and Lighthope knew about it in this episode, but should be something that a lot of people know about if it's this known, you know, legend type thing. So why is there not more pomp and circumstance about this happening? Why isn't there attempts? If it's only going to be up for one day, you'd think there'd be a lot of people that want to go see it or want to get the stuff off of there while they have a chance or do whatever. It seems like, I don't know, there was no plans for anything good to be done. It's just reacting to the fact that Hordak was going to steal stuff. And then finally, that maneuver at the end, the ending bit,
the mountaintop tidal wave.
Yes, that is at the top of the list, probably the top 10 dumbest physical feats that we've seen.
All right, so you're basically reading my mind here. Well, she created a tidal wave with a mountaintop. It's bad. But it's not moving water or moving fire bad.
But it was before that, though, too. We get it starts off with them, apparently Swiftwind going into turbo mode, flying in a circle around it while she has a sword out to cut the mountain. And then it's throwing the mountain, and then it doesn't hit anything. It hits water, which creates the wave, and then somehow the ship ends up on top of the mountain top. It was terrible. Like, who comes up with this stuff?
I don't know.
What else do you have?
I have to go back to Whispering Woods for a minute. I think it was this episode. I'll have to go back and get a screen cap, but wasn't it this episode she was trying to evade some of the sky troopers?
Yeah, I think so.
The planes. And she went through the side of the mountain.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to grab that for the post because that's the first time I've ever seen Swiftwind fly sideways, and I thought that just looked so cool.
I could see that.
No, I mean this episode. I mean it had some cool moments in it, but the overall plot. He wants this magical. He assumes it's going to be some sort of magical power or secret of life or whatever the hell, and he wants it so he can eventually destroy She-Ra for good and. When he gets there, he just sees that it's just, you know, treasures of the world that are essentially worth a ton of money versus actually going to give him any power, and he just doesn't even give a crap. The guy already runs the damn planet. Like, I understand Shira is a huge thorn in his side. He wants to get rid of her, but, like, damn. this is a Larry DiTilio episode. I expect more from Larry DiTilio. Again, it goes back to my question, and I hope any of our listeners can write in and tell me, any of those diehard He-Man fans like Pixel Dan or anybody, you know, did Lou Scheimer just give people scripts, or did he give people story ideas to run with, and then they wrote what they wrote? Because it just doesn't seem like it really fits in with the rest of the series. A lot of the episodes in the last few weeks or the last few episodes of the podcast, there's like one out of the three that we do each week that just doesn't seem to fit the series' feel.
I didn't necessarily dislike the stuff that's going on here. I mean, we'll get more into it when I do the ranking. I think there's a lot to like. There's just a couple things, including that whole maneuver at the end, that are just awful.
For me, it's just the plot. It's not what actually happened. It's just the plot, and that's really all that I have a real problem with. I mean, besides the maneuver at the end, but I mean, it's one of those things where if you can't write a good plot, it doesn't matter how well the animation or voice acting executes that story. It's still going to suck as far as the story goes.
All right. Go ahead.
The PSA. Take a trip to your local art museum.
Yeah. The treasures at least, that art is.
At least it fits the episode.
True, it does fit the episode.
At least it's not about putting out a kitchen fire.
You have that going for you, too. So, yeah, I mean, it does
fit. Oh, yeah, there was a fire in this episode, too.
It does, I mean, it does fit with the episode, and yeah, art is important, blah, 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 but, yeah.
We can tell, folks, Kevin is not the biggest art critic at all.
I mean, when you can just take a paintbrush and flop some paint on something and have someone call it a masterpiece and give you $1 million for it, at least with music, you can hit right notes and wrong notes, like... There's some skill involved. So, anyways,
wow.
let's take a quick break and see where we come down on this actual episode with the Horde Bats, Protection Swords, and Crystal Castles coming up.
You are so going to hell.
Yeah.
How about a little spin? Oh, no! How are you feeling, Hawk?
I felt better, but let's get to Hordak.
Right. Swift Wind!
No! No! This can't be all there is!
Sounds like Hordak's not happy.
Let's find out why.
Paintings! Statues! Pots! Useless! Where is the magic? The weapons? These cannot be the greatest treasures of the first ones.
That's where you're wrong, Hordak. These things show love, beauty, freedom, and truth. They're the very spirit of the first ones. And they have a value a cheap villain like you could never understand.
You're a sentimental fool, She-Ra. But I'll still get something out of this.
Watch yourself, She-Ra. Old Tin Can there's got some rotten plan.
Since you prize this trash so highly, She-Ra, I give it to you. Of course, I doubt you'll have much time to enjoy it after my plasma cannon destroys this building.
All right, it's the first chance to hand out some hardware. I know this is your favorite part of the episode usually, Mike. So any Horde Bats or Protection Swords, first off?
I'll give a Horde Bat to Larry DiTilio. I'm sorry, Larry. As much as I love your work, this is not one of your better episodes as far as the writing goes. What about you?
I don't have anything as far as Horde Bats. I will go ahead and give one more Protection Sword to Seahawk, just because I like his kind of where he's come as a character and how he's like willing and able to help out She-Ra and the Rebellion, and he's kind of on that kind of that... tertiary character that's a rebel supporter that they can call on when they need, and I kind of like his Han Solo-esque attitude that still follows through as well. So that's all I had for Protection Swords or Horde Bats.
I had one for Seahawk and one for Swiftwind, because some of the moves that Swiftwind did execute, regardless of having to be told, certain things, just the, like I said, that sideways fly through the mountain thing. And like I said, not counting She-Ra's, you know, command here, but, you know, just his charge towards the Horde Troopers. So I like that. I thought that was pretty cool, a Swift Wind.
Fair enough. For ratings, I actually think I might end up a little bit higher than you on this one, because honestly, if it was not for that whole last thing with them carving the mountain up and tidal wave, et cetera, this would have been one of the highest ones I've rated in a long time. Because of that, though, I'm going to drop it down to a 4. I really enjoyed Seahawk. I really enjoyed Octavia and seeing the alternate Horde Troopers and the fights that Octavia... I mean, it wasn't just a generic bad guy. She actually had some different skills that she was bringing that we hadn't seen out of anybody else, so it was kind of interesting to see her fight. And then the Imp and Hordak interactions were good. I'm not huge on the plot like you. I this Lost City of Atlantis nonsense. I mean, we've seen that before. And we've also seen where it's not treasure, but it's art, or where it's not treasure, but it's artifacts, or something like that before. So it's the plot's like whatever. But there's enough in the actual episode to make me get all the way up to a 4. What about you?
You're not talking me out of this. You can't. The plot just, like, I enjoyed the actions in the episode, but the story itself and the overall plan of Hordak, nuh-uh. 2.5.
No, that's higher than I thought you were. I had 2 written down for you, so I always try to predict your ratings. So 2.5, not bad. I mean, it's the middle of the road, and I can see the plot bringing you down that way. Like, I think just my enjoyment of some of the aspects brought it up enough for me. So,
and like I said, I enjoyed those aspects too. Like you said, Hordak and Imp and all, I did enjoy all that stuff. At the same time, I'm sorry if the plot of the episode or the plot of the story is bad, then it's bad.
Yeah, true that.
I mean, and you know this better than anybody. You can enjoy the entirety of a movie's special effects without having to really enjoy the plot of the movie.
Right. Yeah, we've done that recently with a couple different things. So, all right, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with the next episode, episode 41, Glimmer's Story, coming up.
Yeah, you've done that recently with Homely and Ugly.
There, that should do it. I'm ready for a test flight.
That thing will never work.
We'll see about that. Here goes.
I really hate to say, I told you so.
Oh, I know you do, Carl, but you won't discourage me. I'm going to figure out some way to fly before Hordak launches another attack.
Keep working, Bo. You'll find a way. I'm sure of it.
Well, I'm afraid I can't wait. I've got to get ready for tomorrow's party.
What party?
For Prince Highcliff from Blue Mountain. He arrives tomorrow.
Oh, and they say he's very handsome.
She used to say I was handsome, but now...
But now, you're just all wet. Cheer up.
Head!
What is the meaning of this? I am Prince Highcliff of Blue Mountain.
I know who you are! We've been expecting you!
Why did your troopers stop me? I've committed no crime.
You're on your way to Castle Brightmoon. Meeting with known rebels is a crime against the Horde. But now I'm going to send someone in your place. Imp! You're certain this prince is unknown in Brightmoon?
No doubt about it. I spent an entire evening disguised as a salt shaker on the Queen's table to make sure.
Salt shaker. A pickle jar would be more like you.
Watch your step, Catra, or I'll turn myself into a mirror and show you how ugly you really are.
Wow, how dare you.
Put him up. Come on, put him up.
Catra, enough of this bickering. False face.
Your service, great one.
Here is your model. Show us your disguise magic.
Watch me.
All right, up next today is episode 41, Glimmer Story, air date of Friday, November 1st, 1985, written by Don Heckman. A handsome prince visits Etheria, but Hordak employs False Face to intervene. So we have Hordak, Catra, Imp, and another new Horde member, False Face. And then we have She-Ra, Bo, Glimmer, Madam Raz, Queen Angela, Cowl, Swiftwind, and Prince Highcliff as the other character in this one. So what did you think about this whole thing? We got a royal member going to visit Castle Brightmoon, and we have this character of False Face intervening to try, and along with Imp, to try to like find the weaknesses on Brightmoon's castle.
Okay, first of all, why is this story, why is this episode called Glimmer's Story?
That's a good question.
No, seriously, why is this called Glimmer's Story? Because when I first saw this title, because we've had this schedule plotted out for years at this point now for the podcast, I figured it was going to be some sort of backstory on her, some sort of misadventure she might have had, some sort of learning experience. No, this is Glimmer turning into a fashion diva, thinking she needs purple hair instead of her pink hair because some prince is coming to town. Like, what? Huh?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really get how this was Glimmer's story. I was asking myself for the first, like, 15 to 20 minutes, like, how did they come up with the title for this? This really has... I was thinking we were going to get something like, you know, Glimmer's off on her own in some type of isolated environment, and we're going to learn something about her character or her past or something. You know, like, we had a lot of those in He-Man. We had, like, Tila's story mm-hmm. or something like
that. Tila's quest was Tila's story, yeah. Yep.
We had a number of those, and this one, I just don't get why it had anything to do with her outside of being a side character that had a crush and was trying to impress the prince.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I'm with you on that one. I don't really understand the title. And I mean, I get the plot and what's going on there. I mean, we've had that happen quite a few times, especially in the He-Man series, when Eva Lyn would try to impersonate somebody, whether it be a villager or somebody. So, I mean, it's not something we haven't seen before. So yeah. No extra points for uniqueness and no extra points for having anything to do with your title.
Yeah, no, and I'm automatically, and I'll explain this as we get through Whispering Woods and the Fright Zone, automatically this episode's getting points off because Glimmer can't, she looks like crap with purple hair. I'll talk about that later, though.
All right, well, let's take a quick break and get to more of that. Mike's thoughts on Glimmer's purple hair when we make our way to Whispering Woods and the Fright Zone.
Between this and Showtime Synergy's comic reviews of the Gem series, I'm always talking about Gem and other 80s females' hair. It's crazy.
Only you can give me the haircut and purple hair I need by tomorrow.
Oh, purple hair by tomorrow? Why?
Because Prince Highcliff is coming from Blue Mountain, and I want to make a grand impression.
Well, you don't need purple hair to make a grand impression, Glimmer.
Oh, you just don't understand. Please, Madam Raz, please.
Well.
How does it look? Interesting. Very interesting.
I bring greetings from my father, King Storm.
You are welcome in this land, Prince Highcliff. Your father is one of our oldest friends. My daughter, Princess Glimmer, will show you our castle.
There's something about him that's not right.
The floodgates are controlled from here. If they're closed when the water level is high...
Like the way it is now?
Yes, the entire castle would be flooded.
Fascinating. And now, Princess Glimmer, perhaps you will show me the castle grounds.
I'll be happy to.
All right, we find our way back to Whispering Woods for the second time today. Mike, what did you like about Glimmer's story, or lack thereof?
Purple hair by tomorrow.
Purple hair.
No.
Oh, too soon?
By the time this episode comes out, that news will be so old. So no, just don't even. Okay, so here's the thing, all right? I know two female DJs, one up in Boston at WAIF, Boston's rock station, Mistress Carrie, and I know one here in Louisville from 107.7 The Eagle, Louisville's classic hits, Regular Laura. They both are purple-haired DJs, and they pull it off just fine and dandy. If you look at Glimmer, and these pictures will be in the post because I've already screen-capped them, you look at Glimmer how she normally looks. She has pink hair with the purple band and the purple bodice and suit and all that other stuff, and it looks fine. She adds this really, really dark purple. She dyes her hair dark, dark purple, and it just looks weird. I know we're in Whispering Woods here, but I'm sorry. It just looks so wrong.
Did you say the word bodice?
Yes, bodice.
You know more about women's fashion, apparently, than I do.
Yeah, apparently. I do like the appearance of False Face, but he reminds me too much of 90s X-Men, the character Morph in the 92 X-Men series in the very beginning of the series. I like seeing him, though. It's interesting seeing him. That's pretty much it. I mean, this episode just... it's just a letdown, because it's, again... I'm one of those people, and I don't know if you were one of those people as well, but I'm one of those people, if I see a title, if the title can get me excited for what might happen in the story, I'm all for it. If I see the title and then watch or listen or whatever to the whatever media it is and realize that the story of the thing has nothing to do with the actual, I get really, really disappointed, and this episode is just so damn disappointing.
Yeah. I can get that. My Whispering Woods moments will be quick. I just have False Face, you know, cool seeing another character. I don't like him as much as I like Voltak and Octavia. He seems kind of not legit to me in some way, shape, or form. Doesn't quite look the same. It doesn't have that, like, actual... It's more like a gun for hire than, like, an actual Horde member to me. And I do like that this episode is nonstop, thanks to Imp and all his hijinks. Like, they're constantly, She-Ra is constantly trying to, you know, fix this, fix that, go over here, run over there, do that. So, I mean, it is a very fast-paced episode. I'll give it that. So,
yeah.
That's what I liked about it. As far as Fright Zone, first of all, did False Face drug Glimmer? Did he use some chloroform or something like that? Because she put absolutely no resistance up.
No, he just grabbed her and...
grabbed her and put a blank or a robe or whatever around her. Yeah. And then she just went along for the ride.
Yeah.
The purple hair is awful.
On her.
Yeah, gliders are gliders. They have a...
Oh, the hang glider for Bo.
The hang glider, I don't know if anybody knows about hang gliders, I guess, but apparently not the writers here, because a hang glider can go for a while, and it can go from one height to another height, you know, kind of gradually going down. You can't necessarily turn around and go back up this other direction and fly around like it's like you got some type of jetpack on, though. So that's weird. And here's an idea for the castle and for Queen Angela. How about, since the Moonstone just teleports up to where it needs to be with the power of your bond because you're related, then maybe we should eliminate the stairs that goes up there, so that nobody can go steal it. Because you clearly didn't need the stairs to go put it back. So let's eliminate the stairs so nobody can steal it again. Huh? Just a thought. What about you?
What are we doing? Fright Zone now?
Yes, that's where we're at. Thanks for keeping up with us.
I don't know. This episode just... Yeah, Glimmer looks like crap with purple hair. Like, her pink hair is fine. I have no problem with that. But just, it's the color contrast. If it was a lighter, like the same color purple as her headband or her clothing, it would be fine. But that dark purple hair, just, ugh, no. And She-Ra, why, instead of going out and around and doing all this shit to stop the water... Instead of digging this damn trench, getting the little kid stuck in the trench from digging it out, why not just go in and flip the switch that Imp flipped? Like, seriously? That would make the episode too short. If she just went in and flipped the switch that he originally flipped to turn the floodgates on.
It wasn't happening fast enough.
I know, but it just... Oh, God.
What else did you not like about this episode? Anything?
This is just so misleading as far as the title to what actually friggin' happens. Because like I said, I was really hoping for like a Glimmer backstory or something. Like some sort of learning experience for Glimmer other than, you know, beauty is on the inside versus on what's on the outside. Because that's essentially what the PSA... what's important is on the inside.
Looks aren't everything. So,
yeah. How many times have we heard that already in the past 30 something years now?
Quite a few times. Yeah. They're hitting on a couple golden rules today. So, all right. So, that's the Whispering Woods and the Fright Zone moments for Glimmer story. Let's see what kind of awards it garners, though, as we come up with our Crystal Castle ratings and our other awards after the break.
What is it?
Some strange, evil energy is nearby.
Queen Angela. The Moonstone's been stolen and Glimmer's missing.
Prince Highcliff, he must be one of Hordak's men. Come on, Bo.
We've got work to do.
Master Hordak, False Face calling. I have Queen Angela's Moonstone. Bright Moon's defenses are down.
Excellent! My robot army will attack immediately.
We have no defenses.
Hordak hasn't wasted any time, but we're not helpless yet. I'll handle the defenses, and you try to find Glimmer. She-Ra!
Well, Princess Glimmer, meet the real Prince Highcliff. By the time you get to know each other, Bright Moon will be in our control.
Don't be so sure about that.
What?
You need a little rest, False Face. Prince Highcliff, quickly! The Moonstone, he's got it!
No problem.
All right, it's time to hand out some more hardware. Mike, what do you have for Horde Bats?
Glimmer, the writer of the episode, Lou Scheimer for even allowing this to happen that makes no nonsensical sense whatsoever compared to the title. Protection swords, nobody.
Okay, I have two Horde Bats to give out. I'm giving them to Glimmer and False Face, and they get Horde Bats number one because Glimmer put up no fight to even resist False Face in any way, shape, or form. And then False Face is equally as inept because all she has to do is do the same thing to him, push him into a jail cell, and lock him away. So they both are terrible at defending themselves against anything. I would not want them on my side in any type of battle or situation. So Horde Bats for False Face and for Glimmer. As far as episode rating, Crystal Castles for me, and this is going to be basically just because of the action and the nonstop pace that we had in the episode, which kept it from being boring. Because if this episode had been slow and boring on top of everything else, it would have been terrible. So I will give it a 2.5 just for the action.
Straight zero.
Zero.
Straight zero.
Zero.
As much as the action was cool and everything else, it still did not save what a shitty story this is.
Zero. I can sort of see, but I'm not quite sure it's that bad. Mm-hmm. I don't know about zero territory. So,
this is another... What was the other episode I gave a zero to recently in recent episodes?
I don't have that right off the top of my head.
Okay, so there was another episode recently where I gave another zero to. And I believe I said in that episode of the podcast that I will... If I ever go back and rewatch She-Ra at all, it's one of those episodes I will never, ever watch again. This is an episode, again, I will never, ever watch this episode of this show ever again.
Well, I don't think I would either, so. All right, so not good scores for Glimmer's story. We're not big fans of that one. Let's go to a different episode and see if we have a different take here. Coming up next, episode 42, Enemy with My Face. Or maybe that was supposed to be the title of this episode. I'm not really sure.
But now, at last, it's finished! Nothing can stop us now! Who's that? Who did this? Who did this?
Well...
Thanks for stopping by with your new toy. Do come again sometime. Bye.
Another defeat at the hands of that nuisance She-Ra. I will have no more of it. There must be some way to stop her.
And my new computer will find it, oh great Hordak.
For your sake, Modulok, I hope so. That is, if you want to get back your title of Horde Scientist instead of Horde Cook. computer. You have analyzed the information on the one called She-Ra?
I have.
Then kindly answer me this one simple question. How can I get her to leave me alone?
Answer, by finding someone just as strong.
Yes, but there's just one small problem. No one is as strong as She-Ra.
Yes, of course. That's it. There's no one as strong as She-Ra now. But there will be soon. Come along, Mantena. We must hurry. Bone of bog and skin of swamp, where creepers in the slime do romp. Grow and take from my enemy all. Arise, arise, and hear my call. Come forth, Mayhog. Come forth.
Last up today is episode 42, Enemy with My Face. Air date of Monday, November 4th, 1985, written by J. Michael Straczynski. Shadow Weaver creates a Maylog from a swamp and has it fight She-Ra, causing it to take on the powers and appearance of the Princess of Power. We have Hordak, Catra, Shadow Weaver, Scorpia, Mantena, Modulok, and some Horde Troopers. We have She-Ra, Bo, Madam Raz, Kyle, Swiftwind, Broom, and Lighthope. And then, of course, we have the Maylog. So, what do you think about this creation from Shadow Weaver that can basically take on whatever it touches? So, we have She-Ra going against a equal counterpart that can basically match her blow for blow in Enemy with My Face.
They are... When did this air?
November 4th,
1985. 85, damn. They are... 21 years too early for a John Travolta Nicolas Cage face off.
Yes, reference courtesy really of TSU.
Seriously, Mike. That's what I thought that this was gonna happen. I thought like Enemy with My Face. I thought they were gonna do a whole switcheroo kind of thing. The episode was alright. It was interesting. I liked that they quote unquote create a character out of mud, quite literally. It's an interesting way to get a new character into the series, but I don't think this new character is really, because she even says at the end that she's going to go out into the world and learn, and, you know, she's essentially a mud version of Johnny Five.
God. Yeah, I mean, for me, I like the idea that we're going to create a counterpart to She-Ra that she's not just going to be able to overpower, so I mean, I guess that's cool. Not that that's completely unique or whatever, but I do appreciate that part of it. I was confused, though, because after watching these episodes, it's more like Enemy with My Face should have been the False Face episode before instead of Glimmer's story. Like, they should have called that one Enemy with My Face or something to do with faces, and then this one could have been something completely different. But, I mean, man, we got to see a whole slew of people in here, so, I mean, it does seem like a legit, like... presence for the Horde as well as the Rebellion, and then we have this Maylog creature, which, whatever, I'm not a huge fan whenever they create something out of the earth or the mud or the rocks or the trees or whatever, so it's not something that's going to get me excited, but again, comes down to execution. The plot doesn't piss me off and it doesn't excite me.
Yeah, heaven forbid anybody, you know, take a rib out of somebody to make their counterpart.
I'm talking about like in cartoons when they're just like, oh, let me make some magic come out of mud. You ass. All right, let's take a quick break before we make our last venture into the Whispering Woods.
After all, she did bite the apple.
See, couldn't figure out what she would have for him to eat, see? So then she pulled the apple off, knowing that she was out of line. Bit it, crunch.
Uh-oh, Shadow Weaver, what's she doing here?
Madam, you and Broom get the supplies back to Whispering Woods. Cowl, you come with me.
Right.
Soar and soar and soar up high. Like a bird, arise and fly. I did it!
Next up, Whispering Woods.
Oh!
drive the cowards out of the forest.
Now, Shadow Weaver, no need to start calling names.
She-Ra!
Oh, it's getting so I can't go anywhere without being recognized.
Get her!
Now let's see what's inside this tin can. Why, it's hollow. No wonder it didn't fire. But why send an empty tank after us?
Because it's not as empty as you think. Shadow Malog!
Hey, what's going on?
Malog has all her power.
That thing's as strong as I am. Oh, no, you don't. I'd ask you to do it again, but I'm afraid you're going to be all tied up. Sword to lasso! Oh, want to play games, huh? All right, a tug of war it is.
All right, last time today, we find ourselves in Whispering Woods. Sir, what did you like about Enemy with My False Face?
Modulok is still the Horde cook, and if he succeeds this time, he'll become the Horde head scientist again.
Yeah.
But he's still the cook at this point.
Yeah, that was some good continuity. I like that they have there. I have that on my list as well. I like that they referenced that and that they talked about it. And I just like that he was just had another appearance as well.
I like the vocal back and forth between Shadow Weaver and She-Ra as far as getting the Milog or Malog or whatever it's called to actually do what they want. I like that She-Ra's trying to build her up and all that and whatever else. And then the best part of the episode was Swiftwind at the end. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, he doesn't usually get a joke, so.
No, not usually.
He's not. That's what kind of separates him from Battlecat is Battlecat has a lot more comedic moments than Swiftwind ever does. Yeah. Modulok returns, Horde scientist instead of Horde cook. Nice continuity there. She-Ra, I lost for the first time. I thought that the tug of war was a good way for them to kind of illustrate that they're on equal playing ground, right. Or equal strength levels, etc. So I thought that was wise, and I have Swiftwind's joke at the end as well. So you basically read off my list. So let's make our way over to Fright Zone, and what do you have for there? Hello?
It just, I don't know. It's just one of those things where, once again, you've mentioned this before, but it happens twice in this episode. The little girl that hides in the urn and the actual female character that comes to life from She-Ra at the end, they both have the Erica Scheimer, Linda Gary boy voice type thing for girls. Don't get me wrong, but it just sounds weird.
Yeah.
And when the little girl, who is separate from the Milog character, the little girl hides in the pot, I thought it was a vase or a potted plant, but She-Ra says that she has to stop that urn. That's kind of friggin' morbid, She-Ra.
Yeah, I was God, the girl's in an urn? What's going on here?
It's just wrong.
Yeah.
What about you?
Well, a couple things. Again, I like the fact that she's coming against someone that can match her for strength and all that other stuff, but I Lost for the First Time turns into all of a sudden She-Ra's lost all her confidence and is doubting her abilities to save the world, etc., etc. Like, you got to be a little bit stronger than that. It's more like, oh, I can't just use my same old tricks. I got to think about this one. How am I going to combat this? Not just I got to run to Light Hope and cry because somebody bested me in strength, even though it was really just a tie. So I didn't like that about She-Ra. And the kitchen sink joke, that was awful. That was awful. Threw everything except for the kitchen sink, and on comes the kitchen sink.
Okay, then.
Okay, so we got this situation where Shadow Weaver is trying to get She-Ra into this little, like, device force field contraption. And Maylog is supposed to help out with that. But it ends up where Shadow Weaver literally just uses her own magic for wind and whatever to blow She-Ra into that. So why did we need Maylog in the first place? Mm-hmm. Like, you just got her there with your own spell. And I'm still confused about that device that you created, because it's supposed to be this force field that traps She-Ra, but the sword can go through it.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
Yeah.
So that was a problem.
When we first see it being there, the device itself, when it first appears, mm-hmm. I thought, ooh, slime pit.
Yeah.
That would have been cool. That would have been a really good, tie-in. And then it's just a force field. I'm like, seriously? Snore.
Yeah, and then it's a force field that doesn't keep anything out or in except for She-Ra herself, I guess. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I had a problem with that. So, as far... Go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't even know what the...
It was the golden rule, treat people the way you want to be treated. Beauty's on the inside was before, now we get treat people the way you want to be treated.
And we've had that golden rule up... Luki thing at least four times so far, yeah. In this first, I've heard it at least one or two other times.
Right. All right. Well, let's take one more break. Come back and see if there's any last awards that we want to hand out before we close this episode.
Man, I should have a stockpile at this point for next.
We both should.
Yeah.
That's it. Come on. Think. Believe. Try. Feel. And now for this force field.
That light! Oh, so bright! Can't see!
I hope you're going to stay and clean up this mess, Shadow Weaver. Thank you for helping me. Isn't there anything I can do for you? If only you could talk. Wait! That's it. You're so much like me, it might work. Here. For the honor of Grayskull. It worked. That is, did it?
Yes. It did. I am free. I am like everyone else now.
Then come with me. Join us. Join the rebellion.
I want to, but I can't. Not yet. Before I can decide what to do with my life, I must first learn what it is to be alive. I must go out into the world, see people, learn things, discover the meaning of these strange feelings. There is so much to learn.
And I wish you luck. You have much to see and feel. But when you are ready, come back, and you will find a home with us.
Thank you, She-Ra, for everything.
Last chance, Mike. Horde bats for anybody.
I'll give one to Shadow Weaver.
Why Shadow Weaver?
She just... Like you said, she created the thing for no reason, because she ended up putting She-Ra in the damn thing by her own damn self. So, yeah.
I got one as well, and mine is going to go to She-Ra herself for losing all confidence just because someone tested her strength and she wasn't able to overpower. You got to be a stronger hero than that. So She-Ra gets one for me. Any swords that you want to give out?
No.
I do not have any swords either. So that leaves just the Crystal Castle rating for today. Where are you going to end today with?
Two? Yeah. I liked the, like I said, the whole Modulok Horde Cook thing and then Swiftwind's joke at the end. So that's 2 points for two moments I liked.
I like the premise of having her go against somebody that can match her strength. I didn't like her creation or the look of her or the fact that they actually turned her into an actual person at the end. But some of that was good enough, I guess, for me to not totally trash this episode. So I'll be right in line with you and I'll give this one a two, Crystal Castles as well.
I like the effect of when she does the honor of, like, I like the effect of the mud chick changing into a, like, the whole, I like the visual effect of it. Yeah. I like that, but yeah, you're right. The whole thing of, hey, look. Oh God. Uh-oh. She-Ra is Geppetto.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, God. I just want a real boy.
Yes.
Oh, boy. But yeah, no, 2 out of 5.
Okay, so we're both in line with that. So one more break, and we'll come back with our thoughts as the series gets a little bit more further along. Like you said, we're almost halfway through the entire podcast run, so give you our thoughts so far and what's coming up next week.
Hold it! Hold it right there! Let's see if you're really ready to watch this movie. Okay, popcorn? Check. Soft drink? Check. Warner Brothers ball cap? Aha! You can't watch a Warner Brothers movie without a Warner Brothers ball cap.
Listen, Doc, what if they ordered a Warner Brothers ball cap so they had it next time?
Well, here's all you have to do, folks. Just send for this. A new Warner Brothers catalog. Use it to order your Warner Brothers ball cap. And while you're at it, you can order stuff like T-shirts, posters, movie books, ties. That's neckties. It's all in the catalog, which you can get now by dialing this 900 number.
So when you get a chance, call...
No, no, they have to call now. They can't watch the movie until they order their new catalog.
You're despicable. Don't forget to call, folks.
He-Man. I am He-Man. Call She-Ra and me at 1-900-909-2233.
We'll journey to distant worlds, explore the universe,
and probably battle Skeletor along the way, huh?
Probably, Orko. There's a new adventure every day. We'll also tell you how to get an action figure or this colorful poster. Get your parents' permission and call 1-900-909-2233.
I have the power!
All right, folks, we are back, and... we have reached the 60th episode of the podcast. We have reached up to the 42nd episode out of 93 for She-Ra, Princess of Power. And boy, was I let down.
Well, let me preface that a little bit, though. But I got one of the things we were asking for was to see some more characters. And we did get Octavia and Falseface.
Yes.
So when we got a little bit of that, I think the execution could have been a little bit better. We did get some continuity with Seahawk and with Modulok, etc. So, I mean, there was some good moments. I think it just comes down to more this set of episodes with the actual stories and the execution. It was like they had pieces there that were going to be good. And they had characters there that we wanted to see. But execution not always great. I mean, I did like the Seahawk episode quite a bit. I gave that one a 4. But outside of that, there was some disappointing story and disappointing execution.
Yeah, like, well, one of the things was outside of us asking for the other characters that we know, like Frosta and Flutterina and all that stuff, you know, or, you know, people on the Horde side that we know, like, yeah, we got that. But we also asked for... I remember you mentioned this. Why is Queen Angela even there? Why is Glimmer even there? When do we ever even get to see them? Well, we got to see them both this episode of the podcast, but nothing really developed other than they have a strong mother-daughter bond to put the jewel back. I mean, it just, that's why I said I was let down, because like I was really expecting Glimmer's story to be some big epic backstory thing for Glimmer, or some origin of her family, or just something other than what we got. And what we got was just such a letdown for me.
Yeah. But like I said, we see some more characters, so we're starting to see a little bit of what I was asking for. So I'm not going to be too hard on it, just a couple bum episodes, basically. But some stuff I'm looking forward to next week. Probably more anticipation for next week's episode than I have for any episode in a long time.
Thank you for listening to Myths of Etheria. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on this and all our other episode posts. Email us feedback@geekcastradio.com. In the subject line, put Myths of Etheria episode 60 feedback. You can leave the show feedback in iTunes. Please do this. Follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio is the network Twitter. You can follow at Pow of Grayskull for the show. Mine is TFG on Mike. What is your Twitter?
At Optimus Solo.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradionetwork. We hope you enjoyed the myths today, and don't forget to join us in our next adventure when we will take a look at the next 3 episodes, those being Welcome back, Cotter. Oh, I'm sorry. Welcome back, Cowell. The Rock Lords. I'm sorry. The Rock People. And Huntara.
Wait. Thundercats?
What?
Huh? Is that from Thundercats? Huntara? That sounds like somebody that would be on Thundercats.
That does.
I'm looking forward to the Rock People. I'm not going to lie. I love the Rock People. I had some of those toys. I've been waiting for them to show up.
Oh, okay. For now, I am TF2 and Mike with
Optimus Solo.
For the honor and by the power of Grayskull, you all have the power.
Next thing you know, there's the Lord. Okay, everybody, out of the pool. Out, out, get out, everybody.